In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory.
That sounds loud. I hope you can all hear me. The gospel today is the last gospel of the cycle before we start to prepare for Great Lent. It's not part of the Lenten Triodion, as we call it, but it is part of those Gospels of Matthew, the Sundays of Matthew. It's the Canaanite woman, and she kind of reminds me of someone else we heard a couple of weeks ago, Zacchaeus, just in the fact that she seems an unlikely candidate to be a follower of Jesus, right? And the Gospel tells us that. It sets us up by telling us she's from the district of Tyre and Sidon, and she's a Canaanite. So this is classical biblical language. This is Tyre and Sidon supposed to be these regions that are enemies of Israel. And then her exchange with Jesus is very interesting. Come on in. Her exchange with Jesus. She approaches him as Son of David, begging for mercy, which is remarkable from a Gentile. Because Son of David is a messianic title. It means he's the one that is to come and is to heal the diseases of the people. And the Jews had that in their law and in their prophecies. They knew he was coming. But for a Gentile to approach him. And what's further more interesting is the resistance she gets from Jesus. First of all, no answer whatsoever. Silence. Then Jesus' disciples come, and they ask Jesus, make her go away, she's bothering us. She's crying after us, you know. Interesting how that's what they want her to go away for, not that she can be healed. We learn that her daughter is severely possessed by a demon, so she needs healing, she needs help from the Lord. But Jesus makes a comment about his mission to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So then she comes to Jesus and begs once again. And Jesus challenges her with, it is not fair to take the children's bread and give it to dogs. Once again, see, this is classic biblical terminology. Children is a reference to the Jews. It always is, for the most part. The children of the promise, the children of Abraham. The people of God, the inheritors. The dogs are the outsiders, the unclean, not the people of God. So classically, that's Gentiles. This is Jews and Gentiles in this parable today. But what happens when Jesus tells her it's unfair to take what's the children's and give it to dogs? She says, Lord, even the dogs get the crumbs that fall from the master's table. So persistent, so determined, and so faithful is this woman that Jesus is amazed. Your daughter is made well because of your faith, he tells her. So the Canaanite woman becomes an unlikely, who seemed like an unlikely candidate for salvation, becomes a follower of Jesus. She becomes saved. See? And that's the message throughout all of the Gospels, throughout all of the Bible even, that it doesn't matter where you come from, doesn't matter where you start out. It matters how you respond to the Lord. You guys can all come on in. We have seats in here. Unless you can't be in for some reason, we should all be in here hearing the message. So what matters is our response to the Lord. How we answer the call. And she answered it with faith. Doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile. The salvation is for one and all. And that's what this gospel is trying to show us. Because right after that, we see how Jesus goes into those areas among the Gentiles. And he feeds them. He shows the apostles how to feed them. How to feed them the bread that they'll never hunger again for. And also, he cures their sick. He heals the diseases amongst the Gentiles. It all matters in how we respond to God. And what can we do about that? I want to talk today about Holy Communion, about our receiving Holy Communion in the church, just because I think it's something that in our society as a whole, in our Orthodox churches, in our church here, you know, we've picked up some habits that are not good. Infrequency of Holy Communion is what I'm talking about. How often should we come to the chalice? How often should we approach the body and blood of Jesus? How often should we sit at the heavenly banquet at a divine liturgy? Every time it's offered. Every time it's offered. Sunday or weekday liturgy, whenever it is celebrated and offered, we should be there. They understood this quite clearly in the early church. Because if you weren't receiving Holy Communion, you had no business being there, and you wouldn't be in church. You know how we say the doors, right before we read the creed? That was the cutoff point. You know, if you were in church, you're either a faithful or you're a catechumen. And at that point, people who were learning about the faith, who wanted to be in the church, were escorted out. So guard the doors, make sure only the faithful are here. And those faithful identified their membership in the church so closely with Holy Communion that if they stayed away, they were excommunicated. Not because anyone excommunicated them, but they excommunicated themselves. They cut themselves off from the body and blood of Christ. I know this is a delicate topic, and I know that the reason for it are many. What we've been taught, what we've been shown, what our parents do, what our grandparents do, what priests and bishops have taught us even, you know? And a lot of it has to do with kind of a misunderstanding of our role in this. We somehow think, and I'm speaking in general terms now, this is the crisis, as we talk about it. The crisis. We somehow think that maybe we come to church and we're not worthy to receive the sacraments. That's true. But guess what? Nobody's worthy. Not one of us in here, myself at the head, because that's what I've been chosen to do, is worthy to approach the body and blood of Jesus to receive those sacraments. Not one of us. So that shouldn't be an excuse. But where we fail is we think that we can do certain things to sometimes make us worthy. Right? And we know what they are. We preach them in the church. We should prepare. We should fast. We should come to church regularly. We shouldn't stay away. All those things. We should go to confession. We know we should do those things. We fail if we do these, say, once a year or every 6 months or whenever. We make up our own timetable. And we fail because we somehow then think we are worthy. I didn't eat, you know. I didn't eat or drink. I said the communion prayers, the prayers before Holy Communion. I went to Vespers. Whatever. I didn't go out on Saturday night. I went to confession. We did something to prepare, and that somehow made us worthy on that day. But it does not work that way, beloved in Christ. We are never worthy. And this is hard for us to hear, because we have to sort of understand there's a paradox, if you will. The paradox is that we are always unworthy of receiving the salvation of God. Always unworthy. The things we do to prepare to receive Holy Communion, they don't make us any more holy or any more worthy. Interestingly, they show us how unworthy we are, and that's why we do them. We go to confession to see ourselves as we really are, sinful before the Almighty God, unworthy of anything. We practice silence. Hopefully, at some point, Saturdays, Sundays, we don't go out, spend the evening late into the night with entertainment, whatever, so that we can focus on our own unworthiness, right? We read those communion prayers so that we can see how everything is coming from God. Nothing we do saves us. So this is epidemic. It's all over. Somebody shared a story with me. They went to a church in another city. It was not an Antiochian Orthodox church, for better or worse, but there they were. It was an Orthodox church, and they were thinking they were going to take Holy Communion that day, because they do here. And the priest brings the chalice out, and nobody came up. Not one person. He holds the gifts up, draw near, and nobody drew near. So, absurd. Absurd. Why are we offering God up to God in the Holy Mysteries? So epidemic is this. I want to share that with you. We don't see that here as much. I mean, we have people coming up. But we have to understand, beloved in Christ, and I want to share this with you, we're not worthy ever. Right? If we had to somehow be worthy, why would Father Fred receive at the altar every Sunday? I have sins I need to confess. I've done no good deed on this earth, as the prayer says. What makes me so special that every Sunday I receive the body and blood of Jesus at the altar? And what separates you on any given Sunday? Think about that. Ask yourself the question. What separates you? And if we think it's our sins, you're right. Sin separates us from God, period. My sin separates me from God. The only thing that fixes that is Jesus' death, His sacrificial death, and He gives it to us in His body and His blood. We should see that as medicine for our souls. We should see that as something that strengthens us, something to encourage us, something to give us a little taste of heaven and give us what we need to persevere in this world. To not sin, perhaps. We greatly err if we think that our sins are so great that Jesus can't fix them. The saints called that the sin of pride. You know, I don't know if we think that. We won't confess them. We won't approach the chalice because we've sinned. God knows that. Jesus died for you, for me, for all of us, knowing we sin. He didn't die for us when we were good, when we did something nice, or proved how great and how holy we are. So I want us to keep that in mind today. And think about it, and pray about it. And talk to your priest about it if you have issues or questions. This is here for us. Jesus died for us. God forbid we should ever see an absurdity where the gifts are offered and held up and not one person feels they can draw near. Why? Because sin has separated them from God. Sin has separated us from God. But Jesus Christ, our Lord, has addressed that. He has fixed that. He's turned it around. And He's offering Himself to us for the healing of our soul and body, to cure us. We are not worthy ever. He makes us worthy. That's the sermon today in a nutshell. If I only had 5 seconds to say it, that would be it. We are never worthy. He makes us worthy. So perhaps we can learn a lesson. Take the example of the Canaanite woman in today's gospel. Perhaps we can look to her, an interesting combination of things. Her humility, the way she approaches Jesus. In humility, Master, Lord. She knows she relies on Him solely. Son of David, have mercy on me. And second, on her boldness. She has humility and boldness because she knows that this Master, this Christ, is coming into the world to save her too. I hope we know that. I hope we know that, beloved in Christ, that Jesus died for us. And no sin we do or commit, or I do or you do, is too great that Jesus' death can't fix it. He can't erase it. He can't forgive it. You know? Let's throw away that false pride and approach with the humility of the Canaanite woman. Holy things are for the holy, we pray. Do we know what that means? We should know, because the choir, the beautiful voices of the choir, gives the right response. Holy things are for the holy, right? I'm not holy. We're not talking about anybody but one. One is holy. One is Lord Jesus Christ, to the glory of God the Father. That's our proclamation. So He's always the Holy One. He's always the one who, through His grace, through His love, through His compassion, gives us Himself as food and drink. Right? And it's for the healing of our soul and body. We are not worthy, but He, in His love for us, makes us worthy. That's all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.